I watched it on TikTok.
That's how you watch the eclipse now?
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was cool. It was interesting.
But you work at home and you have sit next to a window. You could have looked out the window.
Yeah, but I don't want to look at the sun.
No, that's true.
I was in a meeting today, and because I work for health and safety, we had our safety pause at the beginning of the meeting was about not looking at the sun. And then also being safe in your car and as a pedestrian if you choose to go out of the house.
If you choose to go out of the house.
During the eclipse.
Oh, I thought it just meant it was treating you all like a bunch of shut-ins because you work from home.
I am kind of
if
a shut-in.
If you choose to go out from the house, here's what you need to do. There's other people out there. Sometimes there's animals, like a bird. Why not?
No, we are shut-ins. I'm very much a shut-in right now. But it was because people might be looking up instead of like where they're walking or driving. Right. And so you may be like more unsafe on the road than you normally would be. So they also ended that meeting early so everyone could go out and look at the eclipse.
But you instead looked at it on TikTok.
I did. Huh. It felt safer because I didn't have like glasses and I keep being told that it'll ruin my eyes. So
if I were to go mad, my method of madness inducement would be to stare at the sun until I go crazy. I always thought that sounds like a good idea.
Interesting. Seems very poetic.
Yeah. Like that and like walking into a lake with your pockets full of rocks. Who was that? Virginia Woolf? Did she do that? Plath? Or was it Plath?
Oh, it was Plath. Cause
was Woolf the oven?
Yes, Woolf was the oven. Plath. Or was it the other way around?
I don't know. We'll look into it. And now I feel sexist for confusing the two of them. But you know what? I'm still recovering because today was a partial eclipse of the heart.
Every day is a total eclipse of the heart.
But only 23%.
Only 23%.
But we're going to start this podcast. Welcome everyone to a very romantic episode of I Love This, You Should Too. We should be romantic more often. It's right in the title. It says love.
Romance month, guys.
My name is Indy, partial eclipse of the heart, Randhawa. And with me is my lovely co-host, Samantha TikTok Randhawa.
I don't want to be TikTok Randhawa.
It sounds good. That could just replace your name. You can just be TikTok Randhawa now. TikTok is a good name.
I don't think so.
What are we doing, Sam?
So I kicked off our...
You ticked off.
Kicked off.
TikToked off.
No, stop. I kicked off Romance Month with the 2023 film One True Loves, based on the 2016 novel of the same name by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which I have talked about. Now this will be the fourth episode that we're talking about this book slash movie.
So this is your second time watching it. You've
yes.
read the book.
I read the book.
You said that when you watched this movie, you wept, you laughed, you had all the emotions.
I did.
Now you've rewatched it.
Yes.
How do you feel?
The same.
Really?
I really liked it again, and I cried.
I was going to ask at what point, but maybe we should get there.
We'll get there. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so I still love this movie. What did you think?
I did not.
Okay.
And initially, I was like, oh, I don't think this is a good movie. I must be way off. And apparently, nobody likes this movie. It's just you.
Oh, I liked it.
Hardly anyone saw it. It has terrible reviews. Worse than what I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. I thought it was just like missed opportunities and such. But I've actually read reviews because I wanted to know, like, am I that out of touch? Because I know, Yes, I am
absolutely
out of touch. But RogerEbert.com says, this film is shameless, but unaware of its cringy execution. It's lazy, formulaic filmmaking rather than comedic intent of genre parody.
Wow.
Variety says, it's the strangely sterile, textureless finish of Fickman's film that keeps any real feeling at bay. It has like a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's...
Oh.
Not well liked at all.
I thought it was really good.
But we're going to get into it because we don't care what critics say.
Yeah.
Critics are dummies.
Absolutely.
Listen to us, critics who don't get paid.
Yeah. So this movie, I loved the book, but I thought it would make a really good movie just because of the like content and like the way that Taylor Jenkins Reid does a really good job of describing kind of atmosphere and like location. So I thought it would be really easy to kind of translate over into a movie.
And I think that makes it harder because she has control of all of that and then you make it in your mind. Mm-hmm. While here, someone else has to do that. And I dare say the people who are working on this were perhaps not as good as the author.
Maybe not.
I wonder, and this is my theory, that having read the book and enjoyed it is infinitely beneficial in this movie because this movie is signposts of things.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually do the things.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a montage. So like, look, they fell in love, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, I didn't see that at all. I did not see those characters fall in love. But if you've read the book, you're like, yes, that reminds me of all the scenes. Sure, it was 100 pages for me there. And now it's 4 minutes.
So that is my one criticism about this, is that in the second watching, because I was just like so excited to see this come to life. And I love Simu Liu. I love Philippa Su. And I was just like so excited to see it that I think I didn't quite pay attention to how much they skipped from the book. And the book does such a good job of kind of building this world. You get, like you said, you get so many pages about his time on the island and Emma and Sam and how they fell in love and how she was still healing when he came into her life and he kind of brought her back out of her shell. And like, you get a lot more of those moments. And so in the second watching, I was a little disappointed to see like just how like glossed over that part is, because I do feel like that really endears you to the characters. And I think having read the book, I was more forgiving and didn't really notice in the first watch.
It reminded me a lot of, was it The Christmas Prince? A Christmas Prince?
Yeah.
Where I said it gives you the music of something.
Yeah.
So you feel that thing, but the movie doesn't actually show you any of the things happening.
Right.
I felt that a lot in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Further away I am from this movie, today it seems like, oh yeah, that was pretty good, wasn't it? Because mm-hmm. it has a lot of good stuff to it. And if anything, it makes me want to read the novel because the story at the core, I think, is good.
It was fantastic,
I think the
yeah.
script was a mess. I think this production was clearly a mess because we were 20 seconds in and I said, oh, that's not a good sign. And that was because there were 19 production companies.
Yeah. It and says, they listed them twice.
Well, yeah, because then the credits start after the title.
Because you get the like title cards for each production company and then you get the credits. And
so
that
it said Avenue Entertainment, RU Robot Studios, RU Robot Studios, Highland Film Group, Volition Media, Thomasville Pictures, Blue Rider Production, in association with Gosdom Entertainment, Square One Productions, Oops Donuts Productions, Storybook Entertainment, L Ride Productions, I Think Productions, Streamline Global, Yogurt Time Pictures.
Yogurt Time Pictures was my favorite.
And then I think the one that said the most, BuzzFeed Studios.
Oh, yes.
Because this movie is a BuzzFeed movie, and it shows because rather than giving you content, it just gives you an image and is like this. So after that was a rough start. And I think the first half hour of this movie is just bad. And then it had to work so hard to try to win me over because I'm already in the mindset of like, oh, this is just a bad movie that I don't need to give serious attention to. And then suddenly you'll get this scene that has an emotional core to it. And you're like, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Is that out of place or it should have been this all along? And you don't know because it is tonally bizarre.
Mm-hmm. I think this would have benefited from being like a mini series.
This should have been. Yes, absolutely.
Like 4 episodes.
Sure.
Give me like an hour each time and like let me know how Emma and Sam fall in love. Let me know. Give me an episode of Jesse and Emma falling in love and their love story. Because it did feel like they're like, okay, so she's with Sam. They're engaged. Life is good. And then all of a sudden you get thrown back and there's no indication of what their life was like before Jesse left. All we get is the bad stuff. And you don't really get that like balance.
Yeah.
And I do feel like this, if this was 4 episodes, like an hour each, we would have been able to like really fall in love with the characters and then like get a satisfying kind of conclusion.
Sure. This could have been a season of a TV show. Yes. And then this might have worked. But as it is, I just watched it and kept thinking of how I would cut this movie, how I would edit it. And it's bizarre to me because we start off with this high school flashback. Mm-hmm. That's a weird place for this movie to start.
Yes.
Because it was completely unnecessary to everything else.
We also don't find out those people's names.
Yeah. So I had to ask you, because you've watched it and read it. It's like, are we supposed to believe these are the same people?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The Simu Liu guy looks a bit like him.
A bit. In that he's like Asian.
No, I think there was something to it.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other two, I didn't get it.
They
at
had
all.
Similar floppy like
yeah.
hair. But yeah, the other guy was kind of just generic white guy handsome. And
her, I didn't think looked at all.
Not like, at all. Not at all.
She had terrible hair, though, that teenager.
God, that hair.
And it does one of those things I hate where it starts in high school and she's like, oh, if only high school me had known what was going in store or whatever yeah. it was. And I'm like, let the movie do its work.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to think instantly. And then they're not even telling you the right things because
yeah.
you don't know that. But I'm kind of getting stuck in the weeds of like okay. one little thing. It's just an example of how they wasted time on things like that. And then they didn't give you the time on things that matter.
Yeah.
All we got from that scene was her going like, I want to travel the world because, well, of course, also which 17-year-old
yeah, who doesn't want to travel the world in grade 12?
Yeah. Like... just, that's my defining characteristic now. And hey, you do too. All right, let's get married and let's do it. But we don't even know that they do. Until another half hour into the movie.
Until they've already established that she's a travel writer and that he's a photographer.
Well, first we established that she's getting married and then she gets a call from the guy himself.
Yeah.
But so then we jump from that to everyone giving speeches. And I don't know who the characters are, but I do know who the sponsors are because they're like, hey, buddy, would you like a Bud Light seltzer? You know me. That's what guys like. It's cool for guys to drink Bud Light seltzer. Just a minute. Let me check out Expedia real quick.
Yeah.
Expedia for all your travel needs.
You get a full shot of just the phone on Expedia, which is ridiculous. But yeah, the product placement in this movie.
The Fiat. That Fiat 500 Sport. Wow.
So
what
fast.
A capable vehicle.
Yeah.
You might think a Fiat's a small and cute, but this vehicle can do it all. It has all-wheel drive. Look how fast it can go.
Exactly.
It's always clean.
Oh, so nice. Repels dirt.
That's another thing. You can tell that there were issues with this movie that went beyond the script and the actors. There's all sorts of production stuff mm-hmm. because it didn't get a proper release. It went to video on demand instantly.
Yeah.
There's 300 production companies. Were there actually, without exaggeration, about 40 producers on this movie?
I think so.
That's
like,
crazy.
It was probably 6 pages of producers.
And then all this funding, clearly they're getting paid off from Bud Light and Fiat and whatever
yeah.
else.
Yeah. I was really disappointed and kind of confused when this came out. And obviously I didn't know at the time that there were so many like producers and like, you know, film better than I do. So like, obviously that's more obvious to you that there's issues somewhere.
If every cast member is listed as a producer,
something's gone wrong. Okay. See, and I don't know those things, but I was really surprised because I saw that it was being released on Prime, but only in the States. And I remember telling you, I'm like, I'm really upset because this movie, like, I can't find it. And it's got like the biggest Canadian actor of the moment in it. And I really want to see
Ryan Gosling was in this?
Simo.
Hey, wait, all the Barbie men were Canadians.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael Cera.
All the Kens are Canadian.
Oh. And the Alan.
And Alan, yes. But yeah, I was like, I really want to see Simu. We'd watch Shang-Chi. I really like him. He's got really good TikToks too. He just like sings on TikTok and like dances. I just read his book. I was like real into Simu at the time and was like, why can't I get this in Canada?
That's another bad sign. If a new movie is impossible to find, probably something going on with
it. Yeah.
But we go back to all these toasts are happening. Mm-hmm. And then she gets a call just like, hey, it's me. I'm alive. And I'm like, wait, what?
Who are you?
Who is that person? That boy from high school?
Yeah.
We should know that?
Yeah.
Or is that meant to be like we figure it out as we go?
So I knew that from reading the book.
Of course.
Of course. So I feel like we needed 10 minutes on what happened previously, like with him disappearing and crashing and everything, because that came after all of this when we find out that he's alive. It was really oddly like timed. The timeline didn't make a lot of sense of this movie because we didn't know who this guy was and what happened to him.
Here, cold open. It starts with there's speeches going on. She gets the call. That's the cold open. Credits. And then we get the love story of them through the credits, because here it comes up next and it's just, I don't want to be like my family. Me neither. Let's travel. And then there's a montage that does all the emotional heavy lifting.
Yeah.
We don't see them fall in love. We see an Expedia commercial with stock footage from different places.
Yeah.
That's not a replacement for a love story.
No. No. And we don't know why she's so shocked when he calls, like, because we don't know who this person is.
No.
Is her husband? Is her best friend? Is it like,
we didn't know anyone died.
We didn't know that he was missing. And so we didn't know to be like shocked. Having read the book, I knew to be shocked. But if you haven't read the book, and I think that they were just counting on the fact that everyone who was going to watch this had read the book.
I think they needed a screenwriter to come in because she wrote the screenplay.
Right.
With her husband, I think?
I think that's her husband, yes.
And she might be a great novelist.
She is.
But she's not a great screenwriter. The pacing of this was bizarre and confusing and took away from the emotions of it. And that's a shame, because there was good stuff in there and there are good ideas there. So it makes me believe that there's a good novel. But I don't think that translated to what was on the script.
So for those of you who don't know Taylor Jenkins Reid, but are familiar with books, she also wrote The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo and Daisy Jones and the Six. They're like pretty popular books that are either have already been made into a movie or TV show or are about to be. So it's she's like pretty popular right now, which
she's
is
very big on book talk, I hear.
Yep.
I might have heard that from you. I've heard it from other people, too.
Did I?
I do work at a library.
Yeah, you do. I feel like I would never actually say the words book talk to you.
I believe you have said it on this podcast more than once.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So we get all of this love story in montage, and it's like a funny bit where he, what's his name? Casper. No, that's not even close.
Jesse.
Where Jesse proposes to her on a beach somewhere and she says no. Yes. Look, that's her funny joke.
Yeah.
That's the comedy of
this
movie.
That's not when you joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Also, that's
not
a joke.
If someone's down on one knee, it's not the time for jokes.
But then we get all of that and then it's just like smash cut to Simu being so sad.
Yeah.
Because now his fiance has a husband again.
Yeah. What was it? Brother husband?
Yeah. And then we have these more flashbacks. We don't get to see the love story, which is a shame because I don't care about Jesse's relationship with her.
No.
I have no reason to.
No.
But what we do see is her going through a tiny bit of a grieving process. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly her literally looking for him with binoculars.
Which is ridiculous.
And so, I could see some sort of sad symbolism to that, but I think maybe that's something that plays better in a novel.
I'm pretty sure that that may have been mentioned like once.
Yeah.
Like
it plays as a joke in a movie.
In a sentence of like, oh, and I wanted to take my binoculars out every day and see if he was swimming home to me. And that was the last time we talked about it.
So they're taking literal or they're taking figurative stuff
like
from
six words.
There. And making it very, very literal.
Yeah, and she seems like an actual crazy person.
Yes.
Like, I think you can commit somebody for that.
You're like, okay, sure, she's grieving, but we don't actually get to see that either. What we see is her literally looking for him.
Yeah.
And then she just says to her sister, you're happy because you like it when I feel small. And the husband's death is turned into a sibling rivalry, which also we don't get enough backstory on to know that that's a thing.
Yeah, it's rocky in the amount of information that they give us. And it really, we lose the the heart of the story.
It seems like highlights from a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the good movie, but there are scenes in this that had there been the connective tissue, I'd be like, oh, this was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then the sister, who I called a sister recap, or the exposition sister.
Yeah.
She just straight up recaps the movie. Her literal line, this is what she actually says. You and Jesse had such a beautiful life together. And then we all thought he was dead. And then you found love again with a great guy. No matter what you do, you're going to break somebody's heart. You're like, oh, thanks. Are you the voice in the trailer?
I think she is.
That's a scene in the movie. That's bad writing.
She was doing a lot of legwork with everything that, like, all of her lines. And
she would just recap the plot about every 30 minutes she'd come in and tell you what's happening.
And we don't need that. This is such a, like, good story to begin with that, like, it doesn't need someone who literally just gives you exposition.
This movie does not trust itself or the viewers.
No. No.
I get why it doesn't trust itself, because I needed to be told that she was in love with Jesse, because it's not on the screen.
It's not. No. No. They seem awkward, and, like, maybe they've met, like, 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, when they, like, and I understand that, like, she feels awkward because she's built this whole new life and, like, has a fiance, and he comes back and expects everything to be the same. And that's, like, awkward. But I don't ever feel like they remember their previous relationship.
No.
Like, it never feels like, and in the cabin that they go to in Maine, I never feel like they fall back into, like, their relationship. And that's something that is in the book. And
oh,
she has this, like, romantic weekend with him, and she's, like, fighting herself, and she's like, I really want to know what Sam's doing. And, like, she's, like, warring with herself, right? Because she's like, do I want the past or do I want the future? And you get this, like, moment, and you see them be in love. And then you also, in another part of the book, see Sam and Emma in love without knowing that he's alive. So it's like you get both of these situations, and you get to, like, feel like, oh, maybe it's Jesse, maybe it's Sam, and you kind of go back and forth and you don't really know what's happening. But in the movie, there's like none of that.
No. So did you find yourself in the book not knowing who she would end up with?
Yes.
Because in this, of course, by the time you saw the movie, you already knew.
Yes.
But to me, it seemed very clear who she was ending up with.
Yeah.
Because I don't get anything from Jesse. And then when he comes in, he's kind of a dick, it seems like. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem great.
He doesn't, no.
It just seems like, oh, he goes places, and that's all we had in common.
Yeah.
So I thought that the movie was telling you that they had a more of a hollow relationship built on exciting adventures, but no actual substance to it.
No, and they have this beautiful love story in the book.
Yeah, I would love to have seen it.
Needs to be a mini series.
Yeah, or just better.
Yeah,
because there are movies that can pack a lot in. This
absolutely
was very inefficiently
done. Inefficiently done. Yes.
Can we take a little break to talk about how it looks?
Yeah.
How did you like that?
I liked it.
Oh, I dislike it.
So there was a few things I really liked where it was set. I thought that was nice. I thought, like, the town that they filmed this in was beautiful. And I thought that it went really well with the book. I feel like for the guys, wardrobe was good, because I think it's, like, pretty easy to dress guys for a movie like this. She, like, Philippa Sue is gorgeous and very talented.
Is she well known for something that's not film acting?
Yes.
She doesn't seem like
she originated the role of Eliza in Hamilton on Broadway.
Okay. So is she a singer?
She's incredible. She's such an incredible singer and actor. And so this is, I think, might be one of her first acting, like, big acting projects on film. So I know her from Hamilton, and she's got a voice like nothing else. And it's amazing. But I wasn't 100% sure that this was the role for her.
So I don't know her from anything. Mm-hmm. And most of the movie, I'm like, huh, she got a leading role, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it. And so that's what made me think, like, oh, is she like a Dancing with the Stars person? Is she a Broadway person?
Right.
She must be something else, because I don't see it. And even in the script, which I don't think was great, Simu's on stage or on screen, you're like, oh, that's a movie star.
Yeah.
He's
charismatic, yeah. He's charming, He's like fun.
Even Jesse, who I didn't like for most of it, mm-hmm. in the last third of the movie when he actually gets to do some work.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a talented actor.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's the role because her character seems real passive, mm-hmm. but I didn't really get that from her. Maybe she's good in other stuff. I didn't love it in this.
I've never actually seen her in anything other than Hamilton in this, so I don't really know what else she can do, and maybe she's the best friend. Like, maybe she's not leading lady.
Maybe.
Some people aren't, and that's fine. But I did feel like, yeah, she's a little flat, and I don't know if that's the screenplay or if that's her.
Yeah, because I don't think she's given, for a movie that has such a complex emotional core that is based on a, will I do this or will I do mm-hmm. that? It somehow also doesn't give her a lot of emotional moments.
Yeah. And I read the book and I cared about her and I cared about her choices. And she kind of is a passionate character because she's going through all of this. And honestly, her sister was done dirty as well, because it's like, oh, they have these talks in the book that are like girl talk. Like, where you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you go over and over things. And it's just like, should I do this? Because this is what our relationship was like. Should I do this? Because this is what our relationship is like. And like, da 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 da. And it felt like girl talk with like a sister. And you don't get any of that in the film.
No, here we get one speech of like, if you're with him, it's like you're going to your past. But if you're with him, it's like going to your future. What are you going to do? Mm. And it's not like, I am paraphrasing, but I'm not mocking it. That's actually what she says.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's kind of painful for me to hear that there are those great a woman talking to a woman moments mm-hmm. in the book, because here, like, there's this unfortunate trend in a lot of successful romantic movies that are targeted at women where the lead woman doesn't have a personality.
Yeah.
Like, from your Bellas and Twilights to we watched as 90% a joke, we watched 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
And I guess that is also Twilight fan fiction.
Yes,
but
it is.
These movies, they're just like, what if the woman has no personality and takes on the traits of whatever man's around her?
Exactly.
That's what women like, right? And I'm like, no, but clearly I don't know, because those movies make billions of dollars. And my movies are garbage.
No, your movies aren't garbage.
You've never seen a movie I've made. Here, because she doesn't have that relationship with her sister, we don't see it, because she doesn't have those moments of introspection, and because she's not written to have all of that, it seems like perhaps she's just taking on the characteristics of whoever's around her.
Right.
She was traveling around because Jesse wanted to travel around. She's staying at home and being a family person because that's what Sam wants to do.
So
I don't know who she is.
You know the moment in the movie where she's voiceovering the letter that Jesse's reading?
Oh, yes. Ooh, I want to get there because that was actually good.
Okay. There is so much of that in the book that, like, she's kind of speaking without speaking to these two men that she loves.
Yeah.
And she's running over all of these options and everything. And it's just like, it's very touching. And you really get like, I cared about her and her choice because she's touching you emotionally. And it's really, you can see the going back and forth and you really feel that like tortured decision she has to make. And you really only get that in the letter in this movie.
So you feel like the letter is indicative of the novel.
Yes.
That's
which
sad because
may have actually just been from the novel. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure they're similar.
It's sad and frustrating then to me because they clearly had the source material. Mm-hmm. Because that letter sequence, I didn't cry in this movie, but that was clearly the closest I was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was the point of like, wait, is this a good movie? When did this movie become good?
Yeah.
Because there's so much that is not good, but then you have these little glimpses. Mm-hmm. And that was the key one for me. Because I was hoping that this movie was going to be a straight romance. And it is like a romantic comedy. And actually, some of the comedy, I think, is pretty fine.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid because Seema was funny.
Seema was hilarious.
But I miss straight up romances. Mm-hmm. I like a straightforward romance. I think it can be real good. And from the premise of this, I thought that's what it would be. But it wasn't until the letter lighthouse business that we got to see that. Mm-hmm. And I think that was maybe the strongest part of the entire movie.
Yeah, I think so. And one thing that kind of grated me about this was that Emma knows, like, doesn't know that he's reading the letter in the book, but when she walks up, she knows he's reading the letter. And you get this moment of her being like, do I, like, say something? Or, like, do I, like, walk away? Do I stay? Like, and when she walks up in the movie, she's like, keep reading. And it's like, in the book, she knows exactly where he is in the letter because she's been standing there, like, watching him or observing him. And so in this, it felt very, like, forced.
It's a shortcut, like most of the
keep reading. It's like, you don't know where I am in the letter. You don't know what I've read yet. Like, it just, it's not obvious in the moment in the movie. So
it seems like the movie relied on people either knowing the book specifically or, hey, you know romantic movies. Yeah. Just imagine we did that.
Yeah.
Imagine we did the falling in love scene and we'll just show you Singapore. And then you use your own mind to fill in a good movie for us. It feels like a lot of that. And I think that is a really, to me, disturbing trend in movies of just, if you've seen the movies do it, so why do I need to do it?
Yeah.
Then you either need to originate or you need to evolve. But I'm not going to go into that. But what I did interrupt you at some point. We were talking about what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And I thought I did not like the look of it at all. It looked cheap for sure. And it probably was cheap.
Did look cheap.
It looked like it was shot on video. I'm not sure if it actually was, but it looked digital to me.
Because I didn't get that, but
like a TV show and not a great TV show. It looked like a Hallmark movie.
Right.
It was very Hallmarky.
It was kind of shot like a Hallmark movie.
This is only one step up from a Hallmark movie, both in the script and the content and the production values.
Although her outfits weren't good enough to be a Hallmark movie.
She didn't know how to wear that hat. But that's,
Jason pulls it on.
It was weird. She was doing hat work and it didn't work for me.
It was weird.
But it was shot like a renovation show.
Yeah.
Is what I thought. Or a yogurt commercial. Everything was just bright, fully lit. And there are so many establishing shots. Because I think they're like, hey, this is a cool building. Let's eat up time showing this instead of giving this movie an emotional core.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of that lack of style that's its own style now of, this could be anything. We don't need any director. And I'm sure this director, I don't know who it is. I bet he has worked in Hollywood a lot. And I bet the movies he's done, probably some have had big budgets, but none of them have been anything that I like. That's my prediction.
Andy Flickman.
Right.
She's the Man with Amanda Bynes.
Okay. Big-ish budget.
Big-ish
not
budget.
Something I like.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2. And he did a NASCAR comedy series called The Crew on Netflix.
There's no style to it at all. Everything was in a wide shot. Not everything needs to be like dollies and the camera follows you around. But give me something. I guess we were kind of going through the movie chronologically. But one wild thing we have to talk about next would be this reunion scene where he's brought in a police convoy.
Yeah.
And there's press and sirens.
Yeah, why do you need the sirens? You're pulling up to a private home.
And I guess he wasn't allowed to shave until he came back.
No,
he still looks like he just got off the island.
No grooming at
all. I think
it's
been days since he's been back.
Yeah, it's been like 2 days.
And then
he's just wearing this like baggy, awful sweatsuit.
Why is the press there?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's a big deal.
I guess. And then he comes back and he's like, I've been on an island for so long. Are these stairs?
He
doesn't know how to use
afraid
stairs.
Afraid of everything.
And then she's like, oh, you're back. Okay, bye. And she just leaves.
Yeah, she's like, so nice to see you. It's been 5 minutes. Goodbye.
If I had history with them, I might care about that scene. But as it is, it's just like, what's going on here? Because I don't know who they are as a couple.
I'm going to say it again for the 17th time. It was better in the book. Well,
And then it cuts from that heavy scene to this joke about Simu eating that guy's lunch.
Yeah.
And then we just move on.
Yeah.
And then she goes home and she's like, no, I need to bang you right now, Sam. And let's go for it. And then it pans to a closet And I was like, oh, is he in there watching?
Oh, God.
That was my thought of like, is this movie going to get real different now? And he's going to be like a stalker that's watching?
Yeah, that was a weird like extra 3 seconds to keep in there.
Yeah. And they keep this movie quite chaste, actually. They don't show anything.
Yeah. Huh.
Except for what's going on in that closet. Who knows?
What is going on in the closet?
And then based on this, his fiance's dead husband coming back, he says, you know what you need to do? Get out of here. Don't be near me.
Yeah.
Which was a strange thing because we don't get to see his decision process at all. And says like, go away. We shouldn't be together. Rather than like, hey, are we getting married still? How are you feeling? Could you want to talk? What's going on?
It's like, let's call off the wedding. That was his immediate reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get another sad montage. And there's so many songs. The score in this, both the score and the just like the songs, the needle drops are weird.
Yeah. I felt like you always talk about how like movie music makes you feel feelings.
Yeah. They like, didn't use the dialogue for it. They just used a song.
It was really odd where they used music and the big swells. Because I'm like, no, you like there's a couple times where they had done some like actual good work and they'd said like, oh, here's a really emotional scene, and then all of a sudden the music swells and you don't get to like sit in it for a second.
Yeah,
which you should be, because you want to be attached to these characters and you want people to like care. And I was a little upset because it was just like, oh, okay, now we're on to the next thing. Now Simu's being funny, and it's like I don't get to like feel her turmoil of like, do I actually love Jesse? We're back to Simu.
Yeah. It's him going, come on, Tuba, get it together.
Yeah.
Which that sequence, if you look at it, like, this is bizarre. He's just falling apart in front of his students and has played his comedy. But then it's Sam was funny.
He was funny.
So you know what? I was like, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. I'm going to let it slide because it's working for me. And not a lot was.
I want to see a rom-com of just Emma and Sam with no Jesse and him just like teaching high school.
I think he should get a better leading lady.
Okay. Well, but
someone with a little something.
But yeah, I think that I would like to watch a movie of him being that character.
I'd like him paired with Aubrey Plaza. She can be a grump. He can be a lovable wacky.
Yeah, I can see that.
And we don't really get to hear about what happened to Jesse. It takes half of the movie for us to learn that he's been gone for 4 years. Something you should do early, because that gives us a lot of context into what's going on. But there's that little montage where he's having like a bad dream, he has PTSD or whatever, and it kind of made it seem like he killed those people, because he just gets a person, goes, and throws them in the water. You're like, wait, were they alive?
Yeah.
I don't know. And it also kind of made it seem like he crashed, was washed up on an island, and then swam to America.
Yeah.
Which I'm guessing that's not what happened.
I can't remember where the helicopter crashed, but it made no sense that he would swim home. I think he swam to the closest land.
Oh, he did swim somewhere.
He did swim. Because you get, in the book, you get like, he was injured. And he built up his strength in having been an athlete. There's like a whole thing about him having like trained in long distance swimming. Okay. And he's like nursed himself back to health basically by eating just enough food to like sustain himself. And then as soon as he could get back into the water to swim, he started swimming longer and longer distances every day until he finally left the island completely.
Oh,
so you
that's
care about this person.
Wow, he went through a lot. I had no idea.
Because you're like watching him nurse himself back to health. And I think he only talks about it in like past tense, like this is what I did on the island, when they're at the cabin in Maine and you care about them and their relationship. You get these like flashes of what he went through to get home, because he's like, I came home to you. And that was one thing that I didn't get was in this movie, was that he was like angry at her for not waiting for him because he went through all this stuff. But you never actually know what the stuff he went through was.
You didn't get that he was angry or why he was angry.
He was angry.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, he seemed real angry.
No, he was super angry. But you don't understand why he's so angry.
Because you don't understand why of much in this.
In the book, you see him like recovering from his injuries and then learning to swim again and like figuring out how to get back into the water and eat enough food to like sustain him in the water. And like you see him swimming further and further to get home. And then one day he just goes and he makes it to land, inhabited land, and you care. Mm. And here he was just kind of a jerk.
He might have killed two people and then he swims to America is what I got.
So I'm pretty sure, I don't know why I'm remembering like the Antarctic or something. Like it was somewhere that you, like I think the plane crashed in warm water. So you like he didn't immediately freeze to death, but he was going somewhere really far away that you couldn't swim to California from there.
That doesn't, okay.
Anyway.
Doesn't matter. But when they go to the cabin and he just assumes that they're going to go on a trip tomorrow. He's like, yeah, we're back together and we're going to travel the world starting tomorrow, right?
And she's like, I have a life.
And he's like, how dare you?
I own a bookstore. Like,
and we get so much of Simu's kids in band. And they're just straight from a sitcom. They're from a completely different movie.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And at first that was jarring, but then I was like, I kind of like this movie better, so I'm going to go along with it. And there's that one scene he spells out his whole character. He's like, I'm like this. And I'm like, oh, this is lazy writing. But then he has this one speech of everyone's the hero in their own story, but maybe I'm not the hero. Maybe I'm the bad guy. You're shaking your head like you hate it. I liked it.
Oh, you liked it?
I loved it, actually. I don't know how well. No, you know what? Yeah, I did like it. When you hear wedding speeches, there's this thing that the shorthand is like, oh, it took us a long journey to get to each other. That's usually 90% of the times it's we cheated on someone with each other. It's usually what that means.
Oh.
Like if you, when you ask like, oh, what is the long journey? You're like, well, I was married and she was my secretary. It's usually something that's kind of shady. And it's, this brings it back to like, yeah, of course I think I'm the hero, but if I put myself in his shoes, because he does, he's an empathetic person. And he's saying, if that was me, I'm the other guy.
Yeah.
I'm not the lead here. I'm the other man.
Mm.
And I did like that. I liked that maybe I'm not the hero. Maybe I'm the bad guy. That was that.
Yeah. I like it when you explain it to me. I don't know what that says about me, but
this movie doesn't do a lot of explaining.
No. But yeah, Simu, Golden.
Yeah, he was good.
He was amazing. He was in a different movie from these other people.
There was a few movies going on.
Yeah. Like him with his students. Like he's like the cool teacher. He's like the cool band teacher.
Oh, he's the teacher having a mental breakdown that everyone comes and watches and eats snacks and they just watch him break down.
So part of
someone that should have just hugged him and taken him away.
I know. Like it should have just
poor like, man.
Pushed him out of the room into the staff lounge and be like, please stop sharing all of your emotions with your students. So a lot of those scenes that were in the band room, because I think Simu's like the most charming person on this cast and he does good in like those like one-liners.
Yep.
And so a lot of the trailer is him and him having this mental breakdown. And I was like very into this movie because I had seen the trailer and I was like, yep, this is going to be a good movie because Simu's great.
So then we get this scene where Jesse's driving crazy and like laughing when he gets pulled over. He's like, ha, what are they going to do to me? And he's like, is this guy an asshole?
Yeah.
He seems like an asshole. And then he gets furious at her because she changed her name.
Yeah.
And then he finally says, like, are you engaged?
So
it takes
was,
that long
that
for him
was
to
the
bring it
thing.
Up.
I was like, how does he not already know?
He knows, but he just doesn't bring it up.
No.
And then he gets mad and says, like, your part was to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems crazy to me. He seems like a jerk because I have no backstory.
Yeah.
Of him. I have no reason to like this character. I have reason to like Sam.
Yeah. But in the book, so I'm just going to continuously.
Samantha, but in the book, Randhawa.
That's me. But yeah, in the book, you care about him because you see his struggle to get back to her. And you know the entire time that he is working to get back to his life. And in the movie, there is none of that. And he just seems like an angry PTSD'd jerk.
Yeah. And then finally, we get a montage of her 3 years. There's 4 years, but this only kind of covers three of it, I think. I don't really know. And we get it in a, I don't know, 40-second montage, so we don't actually have to do the hard work of writing the scenes of someone dealing with grief. Because here's a montage. We
here's
don't need
to a woman looking through binoculars and then hugging her sister.
Yeah.
And then 40 seconds of montage.
And then all the book stuff.
Yeah.
So everyone in this movie either loves books or hates books, and that's their defining characteristic.
It's so polarizing.
And then they keep doing this thing like, well, I don't want to be your typical bookseller's daughter. No, my sister, she's such a bookseller's daughter.
What does that even
mean?
Is
that a cliche that we all know, like, oh yeah, what a bookseller's daughter she is?
I don't know.
They say it like
it's
a thing.
I think it's supposed to be like nerdy.
I guess.
She doesn't want to be a nerd. She's like a cool world traveler, so she doesn't want to be a nerd.
I don't want to be a bookseller's daughter.
Sounds like a nice life.
Yeah.
Seems kind of fun.
Not bad. And then we get to the letter, and that was good.
Yeah.
I like that. I knew her choice very early on, because this movie doesn't make it unclear. It makes it, I thought it was clear in the first 30 minutes of what was going to happen in the end.
Mm.
But the resolution at the lighthouse, when she comes to that conclusion, I felt that worked. That was a good payoff. I liked it.
Yeah, I think so. And in the book, it was more drawn out and more murky as to who she's going to choose. You don't get that instant gratification of like, oh, she's going to choose Sam.
And meanwhile, Sam was talking this entire time, which I thought was more than one day.
I think it was only one day.
One day. Either way, he's been talking for about 8 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Straight. They order pizza. Kids are giving him food. Yeah. Like,
then it gets funny enough that I'm like, okay, I'll let that
to
slide.
Sustain him.
And then the kids coach him and start cheering.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to go do it.
And then she hits him with her car.
That rear ending thing was so disappointing. First, there's this close-up of her face where it's like, who shot that? Why would you shoot it like that? It was a terrible shot, and they kept going back to it. And maybe they just couldn't get the Fiat on that day, and they just needed to make it tight. So
that
you
can't tell that it's not a
Fiat. It was such
a
weird... Anyways, that's a very specific thing. But as soon as she got in a car, I was like, oh, she's going to rear-end him now, right?
Yeah.
And then it happens. That was so poorly done. And when they have their big reunion, they kind of couched it all in humor. This is your chance. You had a revelation in a lighthouse. You had someone swimming to America. You are a romantic movie. Go full romance.
Yep.
And then when they have this moment, they do like little jokey bits. Don't do a bit. Commit.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a romantic movie, be a romantic
Give
movie.
Us
Don't fucking half-ass it.
Big sweeping moments.
This is when Simu could actually like get out of, because he's been talking about it, I'm going to get out of being the passive person.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
I'm
and
gonna
be
go do it.
Active. And he kind of does, but they, I can't remember what the jokes were now, but they each make a couple of jokes at their big reunion of like, hey, we're getting back together and we're going to get married. And I don't know. I get that he's funny.
Yeah.
Why put the comedy there? And it wasn't funny there.
No. I was a little disappointed in that.
That was very disappointing. It felt like the big thing was the lighthouse stuff with Jesse. That's where she got to have the emotional stuff. And then Sam doesn't get it.
And that's something that Hallmark movies do really well, is that like grand sweeping moment when you realize you're supposed to be with that person. That's like Hallmark movie 101. Do it in the town square. You don't have to hit each other with cars. Like, that's not romantic, I guess. I just wanted the like running across the town square to each other as the sun sets.
Sure.
I just want the,
it
like,
can,
the
like
big,
go cliche. That's fine. Or have them go
swell.
To a place that was their place. But also, I don't know how they feel about each other.
Because we don't get any of that.
I do know how Sam feels because he gets to tell everyone. And actually, I thought that was well done when he is articulating why his whole thought process, which is weird that we don't get to hear hers, but we get to hear Sam's.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I liked him the most. But he doesn't have a choice to make.
Yeah.
She does. Him, we get to hear the whole maybe I'm the bad guy thing. We get to hear the she should be with who loves her, who she loves the most, not who loves her the most because I love her the most. But she doesn't know that. And all of this, we get to hear that from him. And that's why I cheer for him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, I have no idea.
No.
He might have killed people. He was stranded. That's bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't cheer for him. Her, we get to hear her sister say that it's been hard, and I got a montage about it, but it's 40 seconds. I don't get to know what she's thinking.
Yeah.
Which is odd because it starts with her voiceover. Why doesn't that come back then? If you're going to commit to just doing a voiceover at the beginning, then bring it in later.
Finish it up with a voiceover.
It's just strange choices.
Yeah.
Bad script. And it seems like it came from somewhere good, but a lot of that is not on the screen.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we kind of complained about a movie that you just said you loved.
I do still love it because it goes okay with the book, right? Like it's
a good companion piece.
It's a companion piece. It's the like adaptation of something that unless you read it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But I think that it goes well with the book. And I still really like it because I've read the book. And I feel like that's my recommendation to you is like, read the book, watch the movie.
So our final review of this movie is go read the book.
Go read the book.
I don't know. I think I kind of said all the things I wanted to say. If these 90-second montages were extended, which I assume the book does, it would have that emotional resonance. And I feel like there's something good there because they hint at a lot of good stuff, but they don't show it to me.
Yeah.
Like the moving on and the rediscovering herself by reconnecting with her past. That's a great theme. Mm-hmm. Show it to me. Was that in the novel?
Yes.
I want that. It's here. It's like, he's your past from Sister Exposition. She just tells you. And if you've read the novel, I guess that's enough to remind you of what you've read.
Yeah.
But I think the filmmakers of this and a lot of other movies of this sort are just hoping it's enough to remind you of the novel or for other movies that actually do the emotional heavy lifting.
Yeah.
And it allows this to just be a highlight reel.
It is. It's like ankle deep and the book is like neck deep.
Oh, neck deep.
It's like you get, like even in the flashback scenes, you get an idea of who these kids are without each other and then who they become together. And you like understand the progression as it goes. So I feel like, yeah, highlight reel is a really good way to put it.
It's fitting that it's a BuzzFeed release because it's not so much a fully fleshed out, coherent movie, but rather it's a series of montages and highlights that should just be captioned this, like all the feels. Like, hey, you get how this feels. You can put any scene from this movie on your Tumblr and just say like, I'm just going to leave this here. That's what this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
I just want more out of a movie. You shouldn't have to read the book to fully appreciate the movie. And I feel like that's what this is.
Yeah, I agree. I want more. I want it to be a four-part series. I think that would be like a really good way to do it justice. And you'd get all the love stories and like, hey, BuzzFeed, make it a four-part series.
It's just going to be a list of things. Yeah, it's going to be a listicle.
Listicle. I hate that word.
This movie is a list of film.
A list of film. Okay.
Because yeah. It was a list of cool things, but we didn't see it.
Yeah, I agree. I still love it, though, as a companion to the book.
Well, next week, what are we doing? Oh, we're going more romance.
So romantic.
So I thought I knew which movie I was going to do. But then when I looked at it, it's like, well, the movie I want to do is kind of a trilogy. Do we do three movies? Do we just do two of them? I'll let you know next week. Or maybe when it's going to go to a different movie altogether.
Okay.
I don't know which of four movies we're going to do, but I will tell you full romance.
Okay.
Not romantic comedy, nothing late. Romance, romance. Capital R romance.
So romance.
And also maybe not capital R because it's not going to be in English.
Okay.
Might be Italian, might be Cantonese. I don't know which one I'm going to go with.
Okay. Yet. Let's do it.
But it's going to be good, I hope.
Okay, well, we'll see you next week when we get real romantic with two spoiler-free things of the fortnight and Indy's big pick for the week after.
And maybe the week after that and the week after that. Who knows?
The week after that.
We'll see.
And forever. This is a romantic podcast. Bye, everyone.